start your day, Terry. I managed to hit base 7 touch and pay that for Rabbi Yossi Moore.
Okay. Out
right, good morning everyone, good morning. We know that Shmir Shabbos, the guarding of Shabbos, it saves us. We just had over here, we were zeicha to make last Shabbos, last Friday night, we had a Shalom Zocha and a Bris on Shabbos, and Baruch Tia, thank you. And when it comes to the night before Bris, the minig is to say Krishma. You say Krishma, you make Peklach, and you bring some children to say Krishma for Shmira, for the child. Whenever the child is, when a child's going to go for a Bris Milah, then the Sotan comes along, and the Sotan wants to try and interfere to stop the Bris Milah. So we say Krishma to have a, we say Krishma for an extra Shmira. So one of my children asked, what's going to be with Krishma this time? If it's Friday night, do you do a Krishma? And interestingly enough, some poskim say, there's absolutely no need to do a Krishma Leil Shabbos, because keeping Shabbos is the Shmira. You don't need Shmiras now. You don't say Shema Yisrael Ad Friday night. Friday night you change Shema Yisrael Ad. You change it to, you say a different Nusach, because you don't need Shmira when it comes to Friday night. That's a very inspiring thing, that when it comes to Shabbos, if a person keeps Shabbos properly, then Shabbos guards us, and there's no need, according to a lot of poskim, there's no need to say Krishma by the baby. Obviously, we end up saying it because it doesn't harm saying Krishma, but at the end of the day, is that this Inyan falls away when it comes to Leil Shabbos. Now, what I want to pick on this morning is a few interesting halachas. We hear a lot about hot plates Friday night. We hear a lot about soups and putting salt in the soup, all different shilas that come up during the meal. But I want to focus on shilas that come up at the end of the meal from dessert and after the meal and going to bed and waking up in the morning. I think there's a lot there. There's a lot there, very interesting nekudas that I want to point out one by one, just very, very briefly. I don't want to spend the whole shiur, but at some each point can be spent the whole shiur on. I want to highlight and amplify just a few points. Just imagine you've just tucked into a very nice Friday night meal, and you've had your chicken soup, and you've had your main course. Okay, now you're ready finally for some people, it's the main course. When it comes to the dessert, it's a very geschmack of time, you got the dessert. And now, what typically can happen on a Friday night is that the wife tells the husband, go inside the freezer and please go and get the ice cream. Do you mind getting the dessert? Sometimes she needs a bit of a hand. So you go inside to the freezer, a normal man opens the first drawer, closes it, can't find it, the next one, can't find it, the fifth one, opens all the drawers and closes them, comes back inside and tells the wife, I can't find it, sorry. She gets up, the first drawer she opens is bang on, it's there, and then that's usually the case how it goes. A lot of times, if you analyze what goes on in your freezer, there's bound to be one of the drawers that could be muksa, downright muksa inside the drawer, which would make the drawer a bosses, which you wouldn't be able to open in the normal way. You'd have to open it with using a different thing. You'd have to use, a brush or something to pull the drawer open. And that is, if inside one of the drawers there's raw fish or raw meat or raw chicken, which is common. Some people buy raw, they have a bit of a stock of a bit of raw chicken, have a pack of raw chicken, which costs quite a bit of money. And therefore, we look at that chicken and we say, look, on Shabbos you can't cook it, so it becomes muksa. If it becomes muksa, the halacha of bosses tells you that not only is the muksa item bosses and muksa, anything that supports it also becomes muksa. And therefore, the drawer, if it's got inside it a raw piece of muksa, which is 10, 20 pounds, and it's also got some ice cream in it, which is worth less than that, it's considered, let's say you have 5, 6 pounds of ice cream. Ice cream can also be a lot of money, so if it's a lot of money, maybe it'll top it up and it'll be considered okay. But if the muksa item is more value than the non-muksa item, then you have a situation where the drawer is a bosses. It's considered a bosses to the muksa items, and therefore to open it in a normal way would be an issue. because that is a bosses to the davar osa. That's a very interesting halacha. In that case, what you'd have to do is open it in an unusual way, meaning to take via something else, to take something else and open it with a handle of a brush, and that would be okay, because then you're doing tiltum and atzad. The tzorech davar mutzat in order for you to get hold of the ice cream, that would certainly be okay, but to open it normally, that would be an issue. I think it's an extremely relevant point, which you wouldn't even believe. You can learn the whole machine test and Shin Yud many, many times over, but to realize that it's actually happening in your freezer, very good chance it's happening in your freezer, probably at some other drawers in your house. We always used to make fun of the muksa drawer being a muksa drawer. A lot of the muksa drawers are actually not muksa. You open a muksa drawer, what do you see? Pens, rulers, rubbers. They're all kelish mlach delesa, which doesn't create a bosses at all. Whereas when you open your kitchen drawer, which has got inside it raw couscous, raw pasta, raw anything like that, raw rice, that is the muksa drawer. And we don't often think about that being a muksa drawer. So it's a very important thing.
The ice cream is worth more to me now.
Oh, that's an important point that all pick up on. Do you look at now, or do you look at the actual value? Reb Shlomo Zalman used to say, what do you mean, if you've got, let's say, a cheque of £1 million, he didn't used to say this example, but if you have a cheque of £1 million, right, for now, it's useless, right? but obviously, if you have a cheque of £1 million, you have a value of £1 million, which is muksa, even though for now, your ice cream's more valuable, but at the end of the day, you do give the value chashivas. Yeah, it's a bit of a noise of the whole story, how Shlomo Zalman,
go
on. Ah, very good. You're picking up on another point. Is there bechlal? What is the heta of opening the freezer? Altogether, it's a good point. You should know that some place can wear machmeh, chasanish kayodua, was machmeh, but open the freezer. The minik, you can't say the minik, because some people are certainly machmeh, and it's a good azach. If someone can arrange their fridge freezer to be on a set timer that switches off, some people I know, they have a light on the top, that when the light goes on, they know exactly now the whole freezer's off. So, Amatoif, certainly the Chazanish was machmir on that, so therefore they are machmirim. Rav Shlomo Zalman penned a tshuva clearly on this one, in the Cheshlema Simon Yud, and he writes very clearly, he's very confident why he thinks it's okay. Again, it's a good point, but we're focusing on things which are a downright lechayra, a real issue, I think, over here. To open a muksa drawer, you won't believe that there are muksa drawers in your freezer. There's a good chance that Mustama, there's one drawer at least in the freezer that is probably going to be a muksa, and therefore it's important to remember, especially the men who are opening all the drawers. So it's important to know, you want to take a challah and it's inside, there's a raw, sunny raw inside, it's very important to know that could be muksa. Sure, if you have cooked. Not so clear. If you have something cooked schnitzel or anything like that, food has a very strong non-muksa status, because food is so, a person always needs to come into food, therefore Chazal say that once if it's cooked, it's right. We're sticking to the real issue. The real issue is going to be when you have something which is non-muksa, which is a rule, that is going to be certainly an issue. I want to move on to the next thing, because we've got so many Kanaina Hora, there's so many points to just take into account. Some people that have ice cream, and they take ice cream, they make a dome of ice cream, and on top of the ice cream, they pour some sauce over the ice cream, but the sauce comes from a container that was on the hot plate, or on top of another pot on top of the hot plate, but you take a container which has got hot sauce, pouring it over a dome of ice cream, is it okay or not on Shabbos? Very good. So it's very important to put it in a klisheni before you pour it over, because pouring it from the container, which is a klirishim, that a lot of poskim hold, hang on a second, you're doing bishul from a klirishim onto your ice cream. Yes, you're mekalkel, you're not intending, you don't even want it to be mevashal. It's not so clear that completely eradicates the issur bishul. There's certainly an inyan, to make it via klisheni, because even though it's mekalkel, it's still a meiser bishul. Even if you don't want it, there's a meiser bishul from klirishim, it's worth pouring it into another container, and from the second container over the ice cream. Next point, because there's so much to get through. A lot of people have nuts, which is, they serve nuts for dessert. Now nuts, very regular nuts, cashew nuts, fine, no problem, you eat the whole thing. When it comes to pistachio nuts, that, after a person detaches and opens up the shells, and you put them down on the floor, you put them down on the table, those shells are a real high-level muksa, and they're actually considered like a pound coin. I wish they were like a pound coin, but imagine you have quite a few shells in front of you. They are considered the same status as money. And it's like a severe level of muksa, which is muksa machas gufa. And I've seen it over time. It's very, very normal. It's very out of habit. People are sitting on the table. It's fidgety. It's getting late. They're already waiting for the chavrusa, and the host is taking a bit of time. They're getting fidgety, and so it's very normal to end up moving around. I've seen it many, many times just in the past few months, where it's very normal to be fidgety and to move around after it's already landed, after you already put it down on the table, to move it around. So therefore, it's very important to remember, if you've got pistachio, actually, the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes that Vegandem, because of this, he say Toiv Shlo Lecho Legozim on Shabbos. I'm talking about the ones which have got pistachios, the ones which have got shells. He writes Toiv, again, we don't need to take that on, it's not something we need to take on. But is some, actually, someone told me, even though it wasn't Muxa Erev Shabbos, someone actually told me that when he makes a Kiddush, actually, a Rav in town told me that when he makes a Kiddush, he doesn't bring out, he doesn't put pistachio nuts. Because he's, well, again, that's his own thing. He's making Kiddush. He's not telling you to do that. But when he makes Kiddush, he doesn't want to know of Shilohs of, you know, people opening up. Very nice. When you open it up, it's fine. When you have it in your hand, it's fine. Till you put it down. Once it's on the table, then to move it around is going to be an issue of stum. Now, obviously, if you're removing it to get rid of the table to clear it up, there's a special term called graf shari. If it's not comfortable, it doesn't look nice for the next meal, that's going to be okay. But there's a lot of fidgetiness that go on, especially by dessert. And you'll see, just pay attention, you'll see that it's very, very normal for that to happen, that people end up moving muksa.
So then you'll have to putting in the paper cups ready for the harvest.
Yes, so you should, so that's an interesting point. Obviously, if someone does have pistachio nuts and they want to avoid any shies of muksa, it's very, very good. You'll see a lot of people, they'll put the shells into a keli, so that then when they pick it up, they'll not be handling the actual shells, they'll be handling the cup or the plate. So then it's a tiltum and a tzad, so that obviously downgrades the whole thing altogether. That certainly, you'll see some people putting something else in the cup first, it goes on and on. But at the end of the day, is that's certainly the best way forward, to put it on a cup or a plate. It's just important to know that pistachio nuts could be a real issue with the shells. They are a real issue, that they're not royal achilas behema. They've got their problems with moving the shells on shells. Monkey nuts, I guess, yeah. I guess they're also the shells. Are they royal achilas behema? Maybe the shell, are they softer? I don't even know. The monkey nuts, are they softer? It could be, if it's royal achilas behema, maybe it makes it better. But they could be the same thing. But especially pistachio nuts, which is definitely not royal achilas behema, that is certainly going to be an issue. Just next thing, which is non-issa, I just want to mention a very interesting thing. A lot of people are very helpful. The wives are very helpful. They want to make sure that everything's cleared off the table during dessert. Everyone's ready, getting everything ready off the table. And they're up to folding up the final tablecloth, which they want to take and put it in the bin. And really, they're holding before benching. Now, there's an interesting mefurash halacha that at the time that you bench, there should be piruri hapas. There should be crumbs of bread while you bench. There's a few reasons given. One of the reasons is that the brocha that you bring down when you bench, it should be chal. It should go onto something which is like mamoshes in front of you. So even though you're tempted to clear the table, go all the way. You can go all the way till clearing up the actual tablecloth, so that you're able to leave a few crumbs on the table. That's enough. Bringing in other breads from inside is a bit of an issue once it's already all cleared up. So it's ideal to make sure that you have the tablecloth there, so that you've got the crumbs that's still available during benching. That's a mefurash shulchan aruch. Next one, we've got. You have to realize that after you bench, so you got benching. Obviously, it's a highlight of the meal because it's daraisa. As Rabbi Victor Miller used to say, don't forget to thank Hashem after benching. Yeah, like he used to joke, as if we bench out of habit, and then he pointed out, don't forget, you have to, after benching, thank Hashem. Obviously, you meant to say that benching is thanking Hashem, but that was his point. But you've got over here, after the meal, you have to realize what mode we're in is a very dangerous mode. Most things that we do after the meal are intended for the next morning. We take out the liver from the freezer, the challah from the freezer, we prepare Shabbos party. Not that the children should eat it at 12 o'clock at night. We prepare Shabbos party so that the children should eat it in the morning at whenever time they wake up, to give you a bit of rest. So what do? You take a big bag of nash that they have in the shops. It's all sugar, different various forms. And you got a bag of sugar, and you select from the bag of nash, you know this one wants this. You take out a few packets from the loads of packets. And then you have a few sweets. You take out the swizzles from all the other sweets. You know that this one. Then you know the boys like the pink ones, and the boys like the blue ones, which are, and the girls like the pink ones. Yeah. So you're getting, and you should know a lot of thought goes into it. You should know the most intense aisle in the shops, and you'll see is by the nash aisle. The parents are choosing, or the children are choosing things for Shabbos. It's a very intense, and a lot of thought and conscience is going into what you're choosing for the children. So you're definitely particular what you want to choose from the bags. If you have a bag full of nash, you have to realize where, if the nash is a mixture, you will be selecting, yes, good from the bad, but you'll be selecting it in order that you should eat it, in order to be eaten tomorrow. So that is obviously a red flag. Whatever, that's a boira deraisa. So now if you go and meet and help yourself to every single little bit of the 10 nashes that you put out, then fine, matoif. But if you're not attempting to start opening all the packets, so then you've got an issue of boira. You'd have to make sure that, so what's the solution? Either before Shabbos, a lot of people don't do it before Shabbos. What you can do is, if you have a mixture, is to throw and chuck the whole mixture out on the table and disperse the whole thing. Dispersing is not an act of selection. That's a big heter that Moshe Feinstein writes based on Rashi in Ein Dalet, that to disperse a mixture and to throw it out, and thereby it will become dispersed, that is not an issue, that's not called an act of selection. Rabbi Falk used to say that in Gates of the Yeshiva, when they used to get the cutlery, exactly, when they get it, a bunch of cutlery, you could just throw it on the table, if it's in the gear, and then thereby you'll be sorting out by not doing an act of selection, that would be okay, with the letters in Gates of the Yeshiva. So Rabbi Falk used to say that, you know, when the Bochrim used to give it out to other Bochrim, it could be a Shaila or Boira, so to throw it out on the table, throwing is not an act of selection. That's an interesting svara. So that could be done. But you have to realize that the mode on Friday night, whatever you do, is usually for the next day. You take out a pair of socks, right? Because there's a pair of socks you want for the next day. You're specific about which pair of socks. If you have all the same, it's not an act of selection. But if you take some people have a special socks they want for Shabbos, or I don't know, whatever it is, yeah? So to match the Shabbos suits. Yeah, so any actor, or you take a shirt, a Shabbos shirt, and it's quite dark in the bedroom, and you want to select a shirt for tomorrow morning, or anything like that. Again, all these things, the mother does it for the children. If it's in a situation of a mixture, then you'll be selecting something for the next morning. This is unlimited amount of cases where you can think of, where if you have a mixture and you're selecting it for the next day, that is going to be an issue of boira. Okay, so finally we're upstairs, and now, usually it comes to a dental hygiene. Usually we like to brush our teeth in the night time and the daytime as well. It's a very important thing. Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have good facilities. We have electric toothbrushes. We have good flossing facilities. But when it comes to Friday night, we're a bit stuck on what to do, right? Because even if you don't use a manual toothbrush, the issue with using toothbrush on Shabbos, what's the issue here? Why can't you just take a toothbrush, put some toothpaste on it, and Shalom al Israel? What's the issue? Well, causing blood, you can say that if you have, if it's not guaranteed it's going to cause blood, and then that could be okay. Let's say I know how to do it in a way that it's not going to cause blood, I do it softer. So what could be the problem? I'm quite tempted to use a normal toothbrush. Oh, very, very good. Very good. Very good. These two points are key. Schita and smearing. You have to be aware of schita, the water or toothpaste that gets trapped into these bristles. Because there's so many of them and they're so close together, we look at it as if the water, as if the bristles have trapped the water or trapped the toothpaste. And therefore, when you apply pressure and liquid comes out or toothpaste comes out, that's an act of schita. It's a very interesting svara. Now, you could get around that by getting a Shabbos toothbrush. If such a thing exists in America, you can get it on Amazon. In America, here it's always 10 years behind, so you've got to wait a few more years for it to arrive here. But you'll find you can actually get yourself toothbrushes which have got a lot of rubber stuff inside, which are not so close to each other, which will be okay in Shabbos regarding schita point of view. But now you've got the second problem to deal with, and that is using toothpaste. Using toothpaste is a separate issue of memareach. You're taking something thicker and you're spreading it to finally go over all the teeth. You want it to go everywhere because that's the idea of toothpaste, that it shouldn't be so hard, it shouldn't be so dry on your teeth, on your gums. Therefore, you want it to go everywhere, that's an act of memareach. Moshe Feinstein writes, you can't use toothpaste. But theoretically, if a person would use and practically. If a person would use a Shabbos toothbrush together with something which is not toothpaste, together with something which is like mouthwash, water, anything like that, then you would have got around both issues. But a lot of us don't have Shabbos toothbrushes, so that would involve an act of shechita. Someone told me he doesn't mind using a dry toothbrush. He doesn't mind it. It doesn't bother him so much. No, any issue with that? You can't wet it before. That's a very interesting thing. Rabosha Westheim's father about this, using a dry toothbrush would be okay, but you can't wet it before. So it's a bit tricky practically using it. Go on. Your mouth, that's interesting. The saliva we don't look at as too wet. That's interesting. Go on.
Plastic.
Yeah, you can get like rubber style. Yeah, so you can get that local, sure. A Shabbos toothbrush, your own Shabbos toothbrush, that could be okay. But it's very important to know, for a lot of people, mouthwash works, that's okay. But well, it would have to be pourable. I haven't seen a properly pourable one. It would have to be quite pourable. So if it's like mouthwash, fine. But if it's anything thicker, which doesn't pour nicely, you'd have to see it, because a lot of them I've seen is basically they're quite thick. You know, but yeah, if it's runny like mouthwash, and you've got to make sure both problems are dealt with. Number one is that you have a toothbrush which is the bristles are very far apart, right? And number two is that you're using mouthwash or something liquid which you haven't got a shiner. Oh, very good, very good. Yeah. As I stated, Moshe Feinstein says, "Shkoch." Thank you. Moshe Feinstein says, if you do happen to use a dry toothbrush, then afterwards it's a bit of a shaila to wash it, because what you're washing it for? You're washing it for after Shabbos. So interesting point. He says that you're doing an act of achona. Interesting thing. Nekuda. I want to mention just agav. Also, flossing is also going to be okay. Flossing will be a fine. Flossing, you take a piece of. They come in Bochum nowadays. They come in all different forms that anyone can have access to. It's amazing, and you've got loads of different ways of getting these flossing. And as long as you make sure that they are not moitzi dam, then that's fine on Shabbos. Very, very interesting shuvah from Michas Yitzchak. This is going to sound. A lot of people, they have a bit of holes in their teeth. Hopefully, they have omers maruba laparos. But they have holes, machzachem, or they have holes. And when they go and have fish or chicken or from the cholent, then it's a ganze zach, it's a ganze avoida, you know, afterwards to start, you know, in the old days they had a way of doing it. And now you've got toothpicks or something like that. And it's a ganze avoida taking it out of the teeth. For some people, it can make already a bona fide of what comes out of the teeth. It's a lot there. And the shayla is, you should know, is the tshuva from the Michas Yitzchak. That says, going out in the street, when you have something stuck in your teeth that disturbs you, it bothers you, it's not something that you want to be dealt with the whole afternoon. You know, you hurt your tongue the whole Shabbos afternoon while you're learning, you know, trying to take it out of that corner. If it bothers you and really you want it out, and you would take it out at the first convenience, then to carry, but to go out in the street with it in your teeth, that's an act of itzar. He says he's choshesh for itzar, and he recommends dealing with it before you go out. Now, obviously, for some people find that difficult. Again, even if it's less than a shir, for shtei zechah, but chatz shir is a shayla. And therefore, the mechasisa's got a tshuva to say, try and get out before we go out. Now, obviously, Baruch Hashem, where places have you, that's one of the reasons why, by the way, if a person chooses, and he's in a place that has an eruv, and he chooses not to carry, there's still a big incentive for them to support, whether money or whether other ways, to support a town's eruv, because there are many, many reasons why we need a backup. And this is one of them. If you think that, yeah, we're not carrying the eruv, I don't need the eruv, well, there's many halachos to get through that you wouldn't believe exist. That, like, food remains in your teeth, right, which bother you. We say, Mechas Yisrael says, there's a real shayla v'itzar that you're carrying. Now, yeah, so it's an interesting thing to know that you've got a backing of Eruv, even if a person chooses not to use it lechatchila. There are many halachas, and we've given a shiur on this, a full shiur on this. There's a full scale shiur on this, on all the different points that we need the Eruv for backing. So that this is one of the good ones that Mechas Yisrael's got a clear tshuva to say that that could be an issue. Next shayla, I'm going to go one through now, one after the next over here. Someone has a stomachache, right? We're going into bed. Someone's got a stomachache. They want to have a hot water bottle. Any shayla with a hot water bottle on Shabbos, mishum refuah. Now you're alleviating the pain of your stomach, which that could be a shayla of refuah. Any problem with that? There's a special heta of briyim. Derech briyim tells you that if regular people, which haven't got a stomachache, they also do what you're doing, and they also have a hot water bottle, that's going to be okay. So that's a heta of derech briyim. Some hot water bottles come with a cover. They have like this nice cover, like a furry cover, which goes over the hot water bottle. Is that shayla of atmana? You got water which is double wrapping this water, and we say that usually atmana is a problem to double wrap. A heta is that klisheni. There's no isa atmana. Just one after the next. Rabbi says it's far too late already. Next shayla is we get into bed. We've got a shayla of the lamp, the LED. We've got the Shabbos lamp to deal with. Now, a lot of the popular Shabbos lamp, again, I'm not coming lafuke any other ones, but you've got a Shabbos lamp that goes, it's got, on the top, it's got a cover that you want to cover, you want to turn the lid, call it the lid, the cover, in order to turn it on, turn it off. But you don't turn it on, you just turn it around so that the light comes through the hole. Is that going to be a problem to turn it? Obviously, that's going to be okay, right? But the shaila is sometimes you want to tilt the base so that the light area is facing your book, or the magazine that you're reading or something, yeah, in order that you should put more light, you want to direct the light on one way. Can you turn the base on Shabbos? Is there any shayla of turning the base? Any shayla? Looks like this is a phenomenon. The base. So, is it Kedish Menachalesa, which you can move in a circle from Koima, or is it worse than that? This is a fundamental shayla in Bosi. You know, people are not aware of the shayla at all. You come to your kitchen after Friday night meal, your hot plate's off even. Or you go to the urn and you're looking at it, you're a bit nervous about it, it's a bit close to the edge. You want to give it a tilt back, or your slow cooker, you want to push it, you want to push the urn, the Shabbos urn. You've got three main hot elements in the kitchen, the urn, the Shabbos urn, the hot plate, and the slow cooker potentially you want to move. Moving it on Shabbos is a serious shayla of muksa again. Why are we keep on bringing our muksa and bayra, this whole shit is being, why muksa? Any hot element is treated like fire. Fire, the Gemara says, is muksa. And not only is the fire muksa, anything that supports it is muksa, is a bosses to it. So if you have a hot plate, if your hot plate was a hot element, the hot element is muksa, is like the fire. And the slow cooker, or the hot plate, or the urn, is a bosses to that hot element. Therefore, since when Shabbos came in, it was on, to move it, even if it went on afterwards, it's like the Shabbos trays, even if it goes off afterwards, to move it, you're moving the bosses, which when Shabbos came in, it was on, so that is a real shayla of moving it on Shabbos. So again, Shabbos urn, if you want to move it, it's best to move it with your elbow. If you want to move the hot plate, move it with something, don't get burnt, yeah, and move it with something else. But to move it with your hands is a real shayla. So here the shayla is, when it comes to a Shabbos lamp, if you had a real old, a good old bulb, you know, the good old days that they had real, it got really hot inside, that Rav Moshe held that as a shayla of muksa, moving the hot, Shlomo Zalman said that moving a lamp which has got a hot bulb, that's obviously going to be a problem of bosses, so you can't move that on Shabbos. But here the shayla is, the reason why it's such a good shayla is because you got LED lights, they don't get hot, or they get a bit hot, they don't get nowhere near as hot as halachically needed for a fire. And therefore, there shouldn't be a shayla of Eish. This is a big shayla in the postgame. Pashas, you should say, is not a problem. I took the shayla, I took one of these Shabbos lamps to Gaita, to Rebbe Falk, to Shom, and to Rebbe Zim. I did my rounds, I went to six Rabbonim, Rebbe Asher Westheim, Zuchon Lerocha. I got sent by a company to show different Shabbos, to show different Shabbos lamps, all different issues. A lot of Rabbonim, and we recorded it well. And the Maisa, Rebbe Fal's opinion was that, strictly speaking, there shouldn't be any issue with LED lamps because they don't really have fire inside. There's no heat inside, so really there shouldn't be a problem. He was concerned, though, of people getting mixed up. That, you know, they move their Shabbos lamp and then they go move somewhere else and they got an old lamp. I actually had it a few months ago, I was somewhere for Shabbos, and they had an old lamp, and the Shabbos lamp, and they had an old bulb inside. Well, I'm pretty sure it was. And it was like quite hot. And to move that would be seriously a shayla of bosses. If you would want to move it without any shaylas whatsoever, obviously to move it via the cover, meaning the lid, if you take the cover and you apply pressure, you tilt it a bit, and then thereby you move the base, that's certainly okay, because then you're doing a tilt on that side. You're using the cover, if you know what I mean, you apply pressure on one, and like you trap it a bit, and then you turn it, then the base follows you, that's certainly okay, because you're not touching the base itself, you're using a tilt manatad, that's certainly going to be okay. Wow, I've gone over time, I haven't even gotten to bed, because there's so many shailas. I tell you, the shailas that come up from dessert, all the way till you start davening, because there's so many. I brought actually coffee, I thought I'm going to get through, I don't know why I thought I'm going to get through all of this. The coffee shailas, we wake up in the morning, you got shailas of coffee, eating before davening, coffees, how you make the coffees, and all the different shailas that come with it, we're nowhere near starters, but at least, yeah, maybe we'll do another one, but at least I want to bring out the shailas that people talk about when it comes to soups, we all know about, when it comes to from dessert, all the way when we start davening Baruch Shalma on Shabbos morning, the enormous amount of shailas, Mr. Shem, maybe we'll do a part two thing of it, but Baruch Shalma over here, as you can see, most shailas are involved from the end of the meal, involve Muksa and Baira shailas. They're extremely important. Muksa and Baira is crazy negeya from at the end of the meal, all the way till, you'll see Baruch Hashem next, another time.